For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to start from Chapter 3. That's right. It's a well-known chapter. People have heard the words. In fact, there are songs to it. There's actually there's a lot of study that you can do on the chapter to figure out how things are placed. But let's take a look. So the first thing, very important rule, l'kol zman ve'eis. You could read it that everything has its time. L'kol, for everything, is a time. There is a, in Pirkei Avos it says that every person has a time. Everything has a use. Everything has a value. A person shouldn't discount something. Hashem created everything and everybody for a purpose. It may not, right now, you may not see the need for it, but there'll come a time when it'll be of use, and you just never know when that'll be. And so, there's a famous story that Rashi once was walking home from his study hall, and he almost got run over by a French noblewoman who was riding on a horse. And it was just, I don't know if he almost got run over or if the horse ran into him or exactly what happened. And he was like, why did Hashem do that? He was a very holy person. And we are not always able to figure out why Hashem does things to us. We really, and sometimes that's not a positive way to think, because we don't have the answers. We're not God, you know. And then there are other times where we are able to figure it out. Like sometimes something happens, and we can take that as a sign, you know. Sometimes in a good way, and sometimes in a bad way. You know, it's like a person is going, you know, speaking lashon hara, and they stub their toe, you know, or something, or they're so angry that they want it, and they hurt themselves, and then they realize they shouldn't be doing certain things, right? So there are times when a person can say, I have a sense of why this is happening to me, or why, what happened. So Rashi was trying to think why this happened, that he almost got run over by a carriage of a horse and buggy of this French noblewoman. I don't know how much later, but he was studying the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And there was a very unusual garment that the Kohen wore. And apparently the French riding women would wear a similar, it's a horse riding garment, so that they wouldn't get their clothes dirty or whatever. And so when he read about the Kohen Gadol, he says, I think I know what this is. I saw exactly that type of cape on this French woman. And so he said, aha, that's why Hashem made me, you know, that the piece fit into the puzzle. And so too, like, you know, there may be something in life that we did and we never know of what use it was or why it was, and at some point in our life that will just fit. It'll have its time. It'll be there for a reason. Sometimes you save something and you find just the right occasion to use it. Now I know why I put that away. I don't even know why I saved it. It's just the perfect, in a certain way that's hinted to, like Kol's mind, for everything is a proper time and is a reason. L'kol chefetz, for every object. Now this doesn't mean necessarily you should hoard. There are hoarders who save everything. So the problem with saving everything is then you don't have room for, you don't even know what you have, and you're not able to get it when you need it because you don't know what you got. But the idea though is that everything has a purpose and a place in life. Everything tachas ha-shamayim, underneath the heaven.
What is chesed?
An object. Every object or everything. Okay. Now, there's a question here. What's the difference between zman and ace? He calls it a season and a time. Sometimes, but that's usually people translate zman as a time. When you think about it, zman Asman, when we say Shechianu, we say, I think we're going to, you know, say that with the beginning of the holidays, that we've reached this time. A time means more than just like a few hours, it means it's a whole, it's longer than it's, he calls it a season, but a season can just mean a holiday, like 2 days, 3 days, zman is a longer period of time. Whereas an ace can be a short, even within a day, you can have a certain, you know, now it's nap time. You know, it doesn't mean the whole day is time for a nap, but there's a few hours where it's good to nap. Whereas a zman is a whole season. It's a whole... Now, we have an interesting look at time. We don't commemorate things. We don't say, for example, the world was created on on Rosh Hashanah, so we celebrate that the world was created. If you look in the prayers, we say Hayom. Today is the birth of the world. What do you mean today? It was born many, many years ago. But we believe that time is in a circle. So when we say, for example, that Passover is a time of freedom, we're not celebrating just that we became free many years ago, but we believe that we're becoming free right now. Or the word for a holiday in Hebrew is a chag. A chag is a circle, and we believe that time revolves, and so that when we come to the season of the birthday of the world, that's a season of a renewal. Since today the world was created, that means this is the perfect time to start something new. It's a new year. So it's not that it once was a new year and once it was a new world. Right now, it's a new, totally new season. I can turn over a totally new leaf. I can become a totally different person with a different... we view it that if last year was like a bad luck, it's a new year. It's a totally new... It's a different year. It's a different season. And in fact, one of the Torah readings, we read about all the negative stuff that happened, and there's like a prayer that, all right, that should be... Everything should be in the past. Now it's a new year, it's a new start, and it's not just that we're celebrating that there was a creation, but that we're at a season of creation. We're at a season of newness. And it's the same thing Passover time. It's not just that we were freed, but that freedom is in the air. It's the time of year where you can achieve freedom. Holidays are called Zman Sum Chaseinu. We're not celebrating that they were happy, but we believe there's a certain happiness in the air that you can tap into. It's a certain power that comes with time. So in other words, it's a circle. We revolve around those times. So, for example, on the time when the Torah was given, it's not that it was given many years ago at this time, but we can actually receive the Torah on Shavuos. It's being given right now. It's not just remembering an ancient thing, it's reliving it in this time. There's a certain feelings and certain emotions that you can get in a time itself. It's in this circle of time. That's a concept of time. So if when we're entering, like I said, we're entering Rosh, we're not just remembering that the world was created, but we believe that we're actually passing through that time again of creation. It's being recreated as we speak. So for everything there's a season, and then there's also mini seasons, small amount of times for everything. Tacha Shishamayim, that's in the heaven. Now above the heavens, things are permanent; they last forever. They don't. You could see it also is that things don't last for. There's a certain amount of time. It's this way, and then there's a change, as we're going to see. Like there's things, it's constantly on the move. Okay, let's see verse 2. So. Ace will let us for Ace Lamus. There's a time to be born and a time for death. And then it continues on. Ace with Taos. There's a time to uproot. The Ace Akur in the two. I'm sorry, the time to plant. And then there's a time to uproot. So, why is it connecting birth to death? I mean, there couldn't be two bigger opposites, right? One is...
That's the circle of life.
Yes, that's the answer. Very good. In other words, life is a circle. There's a teaching that before somebody passes, at the same time that somebody passes away, somebody else will be born. Sunrise, sunset. We believe in that circle. The Passover, we eat the egg. It's the same egg we eat on Tisha B'Av. You know that there's happy days and sad days, but it's a circle of life. And sometimes, in order for somebody to be born, there's this circle. The old passes on, and the new comes in. It's a everything has its time. Yeah. So, but this is like a time or a it's also that sometimes. There's a famous story that for 24 years there was a rabbi that had a certain theory, and he went around the country, the world, teaching this school of thought, and then a certain question reached him where he thought that his theory was disproved his theory. So then he went around to all the places that he had taught this way and said, forget that. And he said, the same way I got rewarded for teaching that this was the correct way, now that I found this discrepancy, I want everybody to know, forget that theory that I taught. Now, after he died, a different rabbi resolved the discrepancy, and so he was actually the... But sometimes there's a time to expand, and then there's a time to kill a project. You have to know when to start and when to stop. There's some, you know, certain things have a season, and they serve a usefulness, and then sometimes... You know, sometimes people keep things going that you have to be able to stop and say, you know, that was it served its purpose, but now, you know, it's a time to, I don't know if you want to call it death or put it away, but everything has its some people they don't get that. In other words, they think, well, it once worked, but no, sir, everything has a time. Maybe it served its usefulness then. Now it's time to put it away. Let's try something different. You know, there's a time for new things, and there's a time for old things. Ace will let us say slumber. Now, some people say, why is it compare planting? When you plant something, the shell, the seed, breaks apart, and then the new thing sprouts up. And there's a comparison with the that's compared to giving birth and to dying. We believe that death is not a permanent thing, by the way. We don't see death as in our life they say, you know, there's nothing for sure except death and taxes, right? But we don't believe that people when they die, that's it. Not unless the person didn't have what we something that's worth preserving. In other words, we believe that most people are worthy people. They stood for good things and they accomplished good things. There's no reason for them to. We don't believe that their bodies might not be here, but we don't believe that death itself is permanent. We believe that people are eternal, that the soul is eternal. It's still around in a certain way. It's a...
With some of the people that are in the world now, I mean, I just don't get it, how God can allow them.
Oh, there are some people that don't have any reason to keep them, that there's nothing
is
eternal about them.
Is it a Jewish soul or all souls?
There's a lot of discussion about that. There are righteous non-Jews that are, you know, that have something eternal about them that lives forever or will continue on in a certain way, or that. The Jewish prayer for death is the prayer of life. That's the Kaddish, right? There's a time for death is like a. Sometimes there's a time a person has in this world, and there's a time where a person, that's one stage, and then there's another stage. So we don't see death, otherwise that would be the very last thing, you know, but death is just part of the process. The things live and they die and they go on, and there's planting and there's growing, and it's all part of the cycle, so to speak. It doesn't mean that it's an easy step to accept, but it's part of the many times that if a person like steps back from it, he sees it's all part of the cycle of life that we live through. Ace, well, that is Ace Lamas. Okay. Verse 3. Now, the Ace Laharog, and this might seem strong. Sometimes the first one is where a person dies on their own. Sometimes a person needs to be. It could be those are the kind of people you're taught. Sometimes people have to be killed. They have to be. They harm other people and they need to be stopped. And then on the other hand, there are people that are dying, and we need to do whatever we can to save them. We need to find ways to heal them. Ace through a foe. We need to. There's a time for healing. We're going to see this a little bit further, that there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. But see, there's certain things people would argue are always good. We don't, you know, that if a person is going to allow violent people to harm others, then he's making a big mistake. Then he's responsible for that. We have a holiday coming up called the Fast of Gedaliah, which is the day after Rosh Hashanah, this coming Sunday. And one of the big lessons of Gedaliah was, it was a big tragedy, but he was warned that somebody might try to kill him, that there were people that were jealous of him, or people that didn't want him to succeed, there was a Gentile. Basically, after the temple was destroyed, there were still Jews that lived in the land, and they were farmers, and as long as Jews were still there, there was a chance to rebuild, and there was a chance that when the other Jews came back, they would find a Jewish community there to thrive. I mean, when you think about all the trouble we have with the Arabs, it's because there were no Jews in the land, and so the Arabs settled there. But if the Jews had, if it hadn't been for the fact that Gedaliah was killed, we'd still be there, and we wouldn't have had to all that. But what happened was that Gedaliah heard that this Jew was might be coming to this person who was visiting him might have evil intentions, and he said, "Oh, it's Lashon Hara. I don't want to believe that." He would never, you know, after what we've been through as a people, that he's going to come. And they said, "This guy's the mafia. This guy's bad. This guy's going to." And he said, "I don't want to hear it. You know, we shouldn't." And he didn't take precautions. He didn't. And sure enough, the guy assassinated him. And because he goofed in that way, that he wasn't careful when he. There's some times where you got to be careful. You got to, if somebody's evil, you got to, you can't allow them to harm people. There's a tradition that the first Jewish king, King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, left the king of Amalek. He didn't kill him immediately, and all the problems we had later on with Haman and the Amalekim were because he took pity on him. There's a time to kill. There's a time. Unfortunately, there's a. It's really, I think, a Christian belief or a Catholic belief that they never believe in the death penalty. And it's very, in other words, oh no, you got to leave these wonderful killers. These people butcher people, and they are bad people. There are people that there is Eis L'Harav. There is a time where you have to, you know, if you're a soldier in war and these people are coming to harm your family, it's time to kill. You shouldn't feel bad about it. And then there are other times where you have to go, and those same people that war is over, and now it's time to heal. It's not a time of war.
You have to kill a rodent.
That's correct. That's the right word, a rodent. Somebody that's coming to harm you or to attack you. That's right.
Is there a reason for the order?
Yes. Yes. And there's a huge amount of discussion. It's probably it's beyond. I've always debated that. Like there are some people that would do one verse for the whole class. You know, just teach each verse and spend an hour on each verse. Rabbi Feldman's uncle, the Rabbi Aaron Feldman, used to do that. With he would spend a whole class on like a verse like this, or in Mishle, or the on King, one of King Solomon's teachings. He would just, you know, expound on it. And but we're trying to get the flow of the words, so we're going a little faster. We do believe that there is a time to kill. Now, who's the judge of that? That's a different story. But there are, like you said, if a person is rodef, if a person is coming to harm others, they got to take him out before he can harm you. Ace Lefrot. Now, you might argue that you never destroy things. You should never break things. But there are times when things need to be broken. Now, it's interesting. Usually, all builders will tell you, you got to knock down the old structure before you can build a new one. So right after it says it's time to time to knock down, and then it's time to build. Because before you can build, you always have to. Sometimes you can't build a new structure unless you knock down the old and get rid of it, and it's all for the sake of rebuilding. Sometimes that's why you have to kill someone also, because they're in the way of whatever needs to be done. Verse 4. Eis lifchos, there's a time to cry. The eis lifchos, and then there's a time for happiness or for rejoicing. There's certain seasons where it's appropriate to cry. The crying is a important. There's one of the prayer they say that even the sometimes our prayers feel like they go unanswered. If you pray with tears, there's a tradition that those prayers don't go unanswered. Like tears is a very powerful form of prayer. And there's a time when that the crying is appropriate. That's the time for that emotion. There are times when we're supposed to be serious, and there are times when we're supposed to be. Unfortunately, that some people tend to be one way or the other. They're either always pessimistic and sad, or they're always joking, and they don't seem to know when it's appropriate not to joke, or they don't seem to know how to rejoice when they need to. In other words, that's a skill. That's really, you know, the wisest person is the person who knows how to go with the flow. He knows how to be happy when you're supposed to be happy, and how to be sad when you're supposed to be. Everything is proper in its right time. That's really the challenge of life, is to know how to have the right feelings or deal with the situation in the right way. And so I think that's what he's expressing to us, that don't always be crying and don't always be rejoicing. Know when it's appropriate. Know when it's correct. And that's the challenge. Asaphod. There's a time of sad speeches, and then there's a time for dancing. So there is something here that you're supposed to notice here on verse 4. I don't know if you'll pick it up in the English. In the Hebrew, there's something, a discrepancy here. Yeah, the English, you're not going to see it. In verse 4, let's see if any, in the second half of the first, there's a big discrepancy. There's something missing here. I don't know. The English butchered this. I don't know why they did this. In the Hebrew, on all of these times, there's a lamed before it. For example, if you go back to the first one, there's a time. It doesn't say liledes, lamos, laharog, lifrot. Remember, the lamed before means to. So this verse begins. There's a time to cry, and there's a time to rejoice. And then, ace, all of a sudden, that leaves out the lamed. Ace sapod, it doesn't say ace lispod, it's a time to give sad speeches. The ace lircode, and a time to, it takes, the lamed's missing here. Mm-hmm. Why is that lamed missing? And then you'll see in the next verse, it puts the lamed back. And all the rest, you got the lamed. So out of the whole thing, it takes the lamed out. That's one of the big mysteries. So the Vilna Gaon had a very interesting interpretation. The lamed, you know what a lamed means in Hebrew? What's the malamed? The lamed means to
learn.
Lomed, to study, or to learn. So the lamed, there's two. We believe that study is the answer for everything in life. You never go wrong when you study Torah. Study is the greatest, you know, we're the people of the book. You know, we learn, we believe it's always a good time to learn Torah. You know, if you're able to always study, that's always a good thing. There's two exceptions. There's two times when they would close the study hall.
Somebody died.
For somebody died, or if there's a wedding. Those two things, they would close the study, or they would cancel classes. So it leaves the lamed, which means to teach or to learn, off over here by sefod and rechod, because those are the two times where we don't have the lamed, where we don't have we don't have class. If there's a, you know, hopefully there will be a funeral, but if there's ever a funeral, or if there's a wedding, you close down the class to celebrate. That's what the Vilna Gaon. That's one of the more ingenious. But I saw some other answers here also. Now, it could be that it goes very much hand in hand the first part of the, most of them, each verse has like four different times, right? If you'll notice, like each verse has four times in each verse. And this one, there's no extension because maybe the first two and the last two are connected. In other words, when is the time to cry? At a funeral. When is the time to laugh and rejoice? At a wedding. In other words, these are really not four different... in this verse, the first two and the last two are connected. Whereas in the other verses, they aren't necessarily... For example, in the first verse, birth and death have nothing to do with planting and unplanting. So therefore, each one, the lamed means it's a new subject. Whereas two do this or two do that. Whereas over here, it's not a new subject. When is it appropriate to cry? At funeral, people can cry as much as they want. It's really appropriate. In Talmudic times, they used to hire people to cry. They were professional criers.
The
Sisters. Oh, really?
The
group,
they were called the
Sob Sisters. Oh, really? Part of the idea is that sometimes we find it difficult to cry on our own, but if other people are crying, that gets us going. We just need someone to get us, and laughter is that way too. And in fact, that's why Hollywood, when you watch a movie, they put in the laugh, you know, when you hear, they tell you when to laugh. When the people are laughing, so then that, like, it's easier for you to laugh because you hear them laughing. Otherwise, that's the time to cry is that, that's at a time when they are giving the speech, the funeral speech, when they are evaluating a person who's no longer with us, and when is it the time to joke? Now, that's why at a wedding we have very strange customs. I don't know what non-Jews do. That's why you have people do all kinds of strange things at weddings. They'll dress up in funny costumes. They'll juggle. What's that doing at a wedding? Right? Because they're trying to make people happy. So I don't know whether they really do. You have to know who the people. Sometimes people have T-shirts made up with funny sayings on them, or the. If it makes somebody happy, then it's appropriate at a wedding. If you have to know if you come in a gorilla suit, if it's going to make them happy. If it's a very formal wedding, maybe they don't appreciate a gorilla suit. But if it's going to make them happy, if the people are going to be more happy because you've done that, that's the assumption. That's why there's a rabbi that puts things on, juggles things on his chin or whatever. It makes people happy, so you know then now sometimes people aren't happy. You really have to know what kind of wedding you're going to know whether it's appropriate or not. But a wedding is a time for sechok, making happiness or rejoicing, or that's the proper time for that. Verse 5. Ish lahashach avanin. Sometimes you throw away the stones, and sometimes you gather the stones. So again, I think the common thing is that, it's interesting. They say a high percentage of Jews have this problem where they save things. What do they call that? Where they get
hoarding.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how do you know what percentage do and what percentage don't. I was trying to be careful when I read the beginning. You know that everything is good and has a place, but on the other hand, and that's true. If you have something, you're not supposed to waste it. We find that it says that Jacob went back for some little jars that he left. So they all ask, why did he, you know? And so I did. Well, Hashem gave it to him, and he earned it through working hard. He felt that it was for a reason. He didn't want to waste it. But on the other hand, like I said, a person, it's a good thing to hoard. There's a time for hoarding, and then there's a time to throw it all out. That's really what this is saying. Just the same way, there's a time for seriousness, and there's a time, you have to be able to judge, and this is really the trick, because most people are given just one quality. They always hoard, or they always throw away. The trick is to know when to save and when not to save, and so he says right out, sometimes you got to throw those stones away, toss them down. And other times, you should collect each one. What's interesting is that he says there's a time to hug, and then there's a time to distance, mechabo, the distance from a hug. It's really like an educational tool. The Gemara says that you bring near with the right hand and you repel with the left hand. That's an expression. In other words, your dose of love should be stronger than your dose of displeasure. There's a time when, let's say a child, you want to show that they're doing the right things and you care about them, you shower them with love. But then on the other hand, if they're doing something wrong or they're disrespectful, then you have to show it's not a time for a hug right now, you're upset. But you have to make sure that the time for love is greater than the time for hugging is stronger than the time for, but you need to have both. It needs to be a combination. There's a time for the hug and there's a time to distance from the hug. There's an interesting commentary that says that even in a husband and wife relationship, there's a natural, there's a time of the month where there's a mitzvah for a husband to pay attention to his wife, and then there's a time of the month where it's not the right time of the month. That's the and it's considered a even though a person always loves his wife and they're always a whole, but there's a time for everything. There's a time for affection, and there's a time to distance from affection. Okay, verse 6. Eish levakish. There's a time to seek. There's a time where a person should seek out things. Where a person should search for something. Let's see. Yeah. They don't sound like opposites so much. Eish la'aved. And then there's a time to lose. So, I guess sometimes you're looking to get rid of something, and sometimes you're looking to find something. There's a time that you should be searching. You know you need something, and then there's a time where you have something that you need to get rid of, and you have to figure out how to get rid of it. It's not so easy sometimes. How do you dispose of something? How do you change that situation? So. Both things exist. There's a time for seeking and there's a time for getting rid of. Eish lishmor. There's a time to guard and protect. A person has to make sure that they can keep the things they have. Eish lahashlich. Now, then there's a time to throw away. How is this different than throwing away stones? Maybe this is relationships that you throw away. Because we just said in the previous verse that there's a time to gather stones and a time to throw away stones. There's always a discussion that what we call there's what we call chirv rechokim, trying to gather people in that are far away, and then there's what we call chirv rechokim, those that are here bringing them close. In other words, sometimes we need to be focused on the Russian Jews and the Jews that are out there and in foreign land. And then sometimes we've got to worry about our own families, our people in our own communities. There's times, you know, the equal times for all concerns. Verse 7. Eis l'krov, eis l'tvor. There's a time to tear and a time to sow. Most people that sow will tell you that you have to sometimes tear something in order to sew it back. Because in order to make a stitch, you need enough space to mend it properly. So sometimes they have to cut it more, and then they can do an even. I read about that So there's a time to tear, and tearing isn't always a negative thing. Tearing is in order to sew. You need to tear. That's part of the process. The eich, now boy, if we all knew this, there's a time to be quiet, and then there's a time to speak up. I guess that should be obvious, but sometimes quiet generally is a good thing. Usually it's good to be quiet, but then there's a time where you shouldn't be quiet. You have to say something. Verse 8. Eish leho, there's a time to love. That's appropriate, where the love is a good thing. The eish lesona. And then there's a time to hate. There's a you're supposed to hate evil. You're supposed to. If a person, there is evil in the world. Unfortunately, that person has to hate evil. It says that those that love Hashem hate evil. You have to hate. Again, we're influenced by the Christian world. It says, "Oh, it's all love. It's all," and it doesn't work. In other words, in theory, oh yeah, everything is love. Well, you know, look, Christian, there's no
how cheap they're saying
that they want to turn. That's right. There's been no more. There's no religion that's had more war than Christian Europe. I mean, for the last in its existence. We're one of the first centuries where, well, actually now they're in the Ukraine, there's some war, but almost in every century they had like the 100-year war. There was like constant warfare in Europe. It was all the Christian countries were like always fighting. And so there was no Jew who ever, in the Middle Ages, there was no Jew that ever thought of turning to Christianity because, what do you mean, the Prince of Peace? What do you mean, the religion of love? What love? What peace? What, you know, there was nothing to talk about. There was just, it was a joke, you know, it's a person when there's evil, there is a time for war, and it's sometimes necessary. That's all. The person has to accept that there's a time that if there's something that somebody's doing wrong, that has to be opposed, and the person shouldn't be silent. If more people had spoken up, Hitler would have never come to power. It's people were saying, "Oh, you have to let people say their opinion." Yet, one of the challenges we've had in recent times is that the U.S. pushed democracy, that people have to vote. And what happened was that they voted Hamas into power, and in Egypt they voted the people that are terrorists. Use democracy to gain power, and evil can use democracy also. And so, democracy is good when both sides are willing to follow certain rules and willing to do things in the right boundaries. But it isn't good in of itself. In other words, just because most people voted for it doesn't mean that it's the legitimate. Most people voted to blow innocent civilians up and to not recognize Israel. That doesn't make it legitimate. But unfortunately, the U.S. didn't realize that until it was too late. Really, they said let's have elections, and they were convinced that if you had elections, that somehow people's ideas about who to elect would be the right people. And time after, in Iraq, this whole problem that they had the bad government there, that was because they had an election. The same mistake they repeated in Iraq, in Egypt, and in the Palestinian territories. It was the same mistake in each place, which was they assumed that if you had democracy, that would solve all the problems. And it didn't, because again, the bad people used democracy to get elected, and then once Hitler was elected... That's what they won't tell you, that he came to power through a democratic procedure. He used the law to get to power, and once he got to power, he used murder and other means to maintain the power, and then he took away the laws. And
executive order,
that's right, that's right. And so people have to understand that things are good when they're used in the right time, and there is a time to. Many, many times they took Jewish teachings and they... perverted them, or they didn't get them right. There is a verse in Eicha that we had that when it says that we were being punished, there is a verse that said, like, accept that it comes from Hashem. In other words, accept that instead of fighting it, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't suffer. If a person can stop the suffering, they should do that. But it meant, it said that trying to remember the verse that we had in Eicha about if your cheek gets hit but it didn't mean to turn your other cheek to let them hit you. It meant that you should accept that it comes from Hashem, that a person there's a certain it's called like accepting suffering, or the suffering that we can't do anything about, we might as well come to terms with. In other words, there's some people that they don't come to terms with what their situation is, and they become very bitter people. And there are other people there's some people that are extremely handicapped and suffered in an unbelievable way, and they're so pleasant, and they're so loving. And it's just, and that's, it's like so righteous, like that they were able to accept, they don't have complaints, you know, they didn't. There are other people that, in the same circumstances, they walk around with such a. So in Eicha, when it talks about, like, it doesn't say turn the other cheek, but it says give your cheek to the, it meant kind of a person should accept what Hashem dishes out to a person. There's different ways to deal with it. You can accept it, or you can, but when you can't change it, it's just how your attitude is, and that's a Jewish concept. Whereas the Christians took that to, well, just suffer, or something like turn the other. I don't want to even explain what it is that they, but there is a lot of nonsense to it, and it's a shame because. That's right. Oh, so let's get to your question. What do we do with, if you noticed in verse 8 that it's missing the lamed in this part too? So one of the answers that we gave before was that the first two relate to the second two. So then you could say, so let's go back to verse 2, the time to cry was referring to the time of the funeral. That would work if you said the time to love is to love peace, and the time to hate is to hate war. That would work if it. I don't know if the order though fits that. So I was trying to. In other words, you could say that's the war might be necessary, but
the second half reverses.
It reverses the order though. That doesn't. I'll have to work on that for homework. So I guess we'll. I thought that worked out, but I see it's a little different. So we'll work on that. So we'll see. Well, want to wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova, and may we merit to have a good geben shior and a sweet year for everybody and for Klal Yisrael.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.